Hallelujah. Welcome, Mishpocha. It means family. Welcome, family of West Ottawa Community Church. Hallelujah. Super to see you this morning. I'm excited in the Lord this morning. I'm believing God to speak to us, to move on our hearts today, to challenge us, to convict us, to woo us unto him today. I want more of Yeshua. I want more of Jesus. And I want to give him more of me. And I just believe right now that God wants to speak to us today. So, Lord, we just come before you in the wonderful name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. And we ask that you would speak to us today. We ask that you would challenge us and encourage us today. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for all those that are on this line today, Lord, that they will sense your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that your presence would be felt in every household, Lord, that's on right now. Let them sense the holiness of God. And Lord, I pray there be a fire under each one of us today, Lord, to do more for you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We're excited for what you're about to do today, for we ask this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all out there. You know, I want to share this morning a little bit about John the Immerser. He was a man on fire, but before I do that, I just want to give you an appetizer. This is not on your scripture list, but in 1 Kings 18:38 to 39, it's a story about Elijah, the prophet. And it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Hey, can we just say that together? The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Hallelujah. Imagine this now. You're standing on Mount Carmel in Israel, and you're watching the contest between the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And for nearly 12 hours, Baal's prophets have danced around the altar, whipping themselves into a frenzy and screaming for Baal to set their sacrifice on fire. And nothing happens. And then Elijah steps up. Then he steps up after drenching the altar to the Lord with fire. He calls on the God of Israel, and fire comes down. Now, I believe what he must have done, he must have sung this song. Oh, Lord, send the fire right now. Oh, Lord, send the fire right now. Oh, Lord, send the fire right now and baptize everyone. Hallelujah. Baptize everyone with the fire of God. Now, today as I share, I just burned half of my face, but today as we share, I may be stepping on some toes today, and I'm believing that the Lord is going to heal your toes. So now that I got your attention, get ready. Hallelujah. Today, I want to talk again about John the Baptist and the fire of God. You know, today we're going to look into the Gospel of Luke. It's recorded in the third chapter. And I suppose most of us can quote John 3:16 without even looking at it. But how many of us can quote Luke 3:16? It's the other side of the coin. It should be well known to us. Well, here it is in the Good King James, in the Good King James Version. Luke 3:16 says this, Yohanan, or John, answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you, I immerse you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. And he shall baptize you, he shall mikvah you, with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, and with fire. I want to say that again. It's exciting. You know, if you want to get excited and yell, that's okay. We encourage that here. You know, it says, John answered, Yohanan, he answers, saying unto them, said to them all, I indeed immerse you, I baptize you with water, But one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. And he shall immerse you, he shall baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, and with fire. Now the original, I believe, says Holy Ghost fire. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost fire. Because God is a consuming fire. Amen. God is a consuming fire. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of fire. It's like lightning. You know, there's energy there. And Yeshua said, I've come to bring fire on the earth. I want you to know there is no escaping the fire of God. And I believe today that the world is going to hell because the church has lost the Holy Ghost fire. And it's as simply as that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The church has lost its fire. And I'm believing today that God will encourage us, that God will speak to us. He will challenge us and say, oh, Lord, I want the fire. I want the fire of God in my life. Lord, I want to be transformed. Lord, I don't want to sit on my couch anymore, on my chair. I want to be on fire for you because fire attracts people. I'm encouraging all of us to get on fire for him. Now, I don't know if you ever knew this, but there was an Italian prophet, and his name was Malachi. Some of you may call him Malachi. And between Malachi and Matthew, you got 400 years of blackness without any prophetic light, you know, without any prophetic voice. And then suddenly, dramatically, unexpectedly, this strange man, Yohanan, John the Immerser, John the Baptist, comes on the scene. He came streaking across a sky that was totally black. Now the word said that he was a burning and he was a shining light. Yeshua, the greatest character in history, says, there was no man comparable to John the Immerser, John the Baptist, not Isaiah, not Jeremiah, not any of those towering saints. John, Yohanan, he was a very, very remarkable character. Now John the Immerser, John the Baptist, appears in the wilderness. It was not only a wilderness geographically, it was a wilderness morally. It was a wilderness politically. It was a wilderness religiously. You go back to the scripture and you read about Ezra and Nehemiah. They established a governorship over Israel. And they made up 120 priests and rulers. And these priests and elders ruled over Israel. 450 years they dominated the nation. I say this was a jungle theologically. In 170 BC, there was a man with a very strange name, Antiochus Epiphanes. He took over Jerusalem. He polluted the temple. He made my Jewish people sacrifice to idols. He built a statue to Jupiter. Well, the altar of the burning should have been bent, should have been. He burnt the scriptures publicly. He prohibited the worship of Jehovah, and all of this tremendous stuff went on. In 37 BC came Herod the Great, and he betrayed the nation to the Romans. He fostered immorality. He massacred noble people, and he built a magnificent temple that was standing. Now, with this horrendous background of murder and rape and debauchery and suffering and agony, here comes Yohanan, John the Baptist. He steps on stage, and he was a very remarkable character. You see, today, we try to organize. We try to get a bunch of people together, but God never did that. God takes individual men and women. What are you saying, Marvin? I'm saying God takes individual men and women. You know, we have a saying in the United States that Uncle Sam wants you. Well, I want you to know that Yeshua the Messiah wants you. Yeshua the Messiah wants to use you for his glory. Oh, but Marvin, I never went to Bible school. Hey, we're in school right now, the School of Acts right now, and God wants to use you. But Marvin, I can't speak. I want you to know when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, comes upon you, you will speak. God wants to use you. He doesn't want you to be a pew warmer. God, I never see in the Bible where it says that there was a gift of pew warming, of just sitting on seats. God wants each one of us to be on fire for him. Do I hear an amen? I can't hear you. Do I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, he takes Moses to the backside of the desert. Yohanan, the immerser, John the Baptist, was in the wilderness until the day of his showing. Yeshua, the Son of God, who left the glory, spent 30 years in training to become a minister. Yohanan, the Baptist, John the Baptist, 30 years in training. The Apostle Paul, at least 30 years. Moses, at least 40 years. And we want to go to Bible school in 6 months and become a super prophet. You know, it's a time factor that kills most of us. Now tell me how much time you spend alone with God, and I will tell you how spiritual you are. Not how many gifts you have, not how many sermons you preach, not how many records you've made. You know, the word here tells me about this remarkable man, John the Baptist, that he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. Going forth at the command of God himself, of course. He was in the wilderness of all places. And it says that he has his dwelling among wild beasts and ferocious things. I've seen a lot of ferocious people here in Ottawa, in the surrounding area. But God wants us to make us ferocious for him, on fire for him. You know, some of us have lost that love and feeling. You know how we were when we were first saved? We evangelized. We told everybody. You know, we witnessed to everybody. You know, you're on the bus and someone would say, this seat saved. You say, no, but I am. You know, hey, Marvin, what's your middle name? My middle name is saved. You know, we had a fire within us. We had a joy. Some of us have lost our joy. And I want to encourage you today to get the joy back. It's deep, deep, deep in down there. Just call it up. Joy, come forth. It'll come forth in the morning. It'll come forth in the afternoon. Hallelujah. God is good. As I said, it's a time factor that kills us. The remarkable thing to me is that Yohanan, John, he had no role model. Elisha had Elijah. Joshua had Moses as a role model. Timothy and Paul as a supermodel in front of him. And right throughout the scriptures, you find these men that have lived with some great giant, they became like them. But this man, he had no model at all before him. And what did he do on the rocks? He ate wild honey, it says. And he was with the wild beast, and he was a wild man. Some of you say, Marvin, you're a little wild. I'm not wearing a loincloth, you know. I may dress funny at times, but he was a wild man. I want to encourage you, some of you people that are very calm, to get wild, to get excited. You know, I used to teach this song to the kids in the ministry in New York. The song which says, I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. When you walk with the Lord, you don't get bored. Sing hallelujah. Amen. Hey, we as believers in Messiah Yeshua, we should be excited. We have something that the world doesn't have yet, and we want to share the good news of Yeshua, of Jesus, to the world. Hallelujah. Forgive me for being excited. I love the Lord. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3:1. Now, it says here, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, the tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonitis, if you can say that three times, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Ananias and Sapphira being the high priest. Now, that's about as refreshing as a mouthful of sand, isn't it? What I just said, I couldn't even hardly say it. So profession is a mouth of sand. But Marvin, what do you do with all this, what you just said there? It gives us a framework. Ananias and Sapphira, Ananias and Caiaphas being the high priest, that was illegal. They could only have one high priest and they got two. And then came John, the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Boy, that's kind of a dirty thing today, because who preaches repentance? You know, there's an old hymn that says, repentance is to leave the things that I've done before and show that I am in earnest grief by doing them no more. I want to say that again. A lot of times I'll repeat because I believe it's important. Repentance is to leave the things I've done before and show that I am in earnest grief by doing them no more. That I earnest grieve and do them no more. Repentance is more than just saying I'm sorry. Repentance is mental. It's going this way and I turn that way. When I'm going this way, I'm saying God is in the wrong and I'm in the right. And when I turn around the way I say God is in the right, if he sends me to hell, he is in the right. And that is repentance. We turn around. It's not just repenting from the sins that I've done. It's repenting about the motive that made me do the sin. It's going past the fruit to the root, because if the root of corruption is there, there's going to be fruit coming out that is wrong. I'm going to say that again. It's not just repenting for the sins that I've done. It's repenting about the motive that made me want to do the sin. It's going past to the fruit, to the root, because if the root of corruption is there, there's going to be fruit coming out that is wrong. God wants us to have good fruit, delicious fruit. You know, when people see us, they should be able to pick the fruit from us and say, that is delicious. Romans 6 talks about having your fruit unto holiness, and it's talking about there to regenerate people, not people that claim to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. John goes out, he stands and he ministers there, and they come to him, and he is a success any way you count it. Geographically, they come from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. He is a success socially. They came from all levels of society. And then he said to the multitude that came to be baptized, to become mikveh, he said, you generation of vipers. Now, isn't that pleasant? Wouldn't you like it when someone comes up to you and you're coming to a service and the pastor or the rabbi says, you generation of vipers? You know, do you know anybody who would dare to stand up in the First Baptist or the Second Baptist or the Last Baptist or any church or congregation this morning and say, you generation of vipers, I'm sick and tired of talking to you? Well, some of you out there might have felt that way. I've kind of felt that way. You're not listening, you know. He was not only condemning their sin, he was saying there is a gate, and when you get through it, it's eternal wrath from God. And we have forgotten about the wrath of God. You know, a friend of mine saw a bumper sticker, and you know what it said? It said, Yeshua is coming, and he is as mad as hell. Now, Marvin, is that sacrilegious? And I say, no, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. I've had 2 cups of coffee and they were big ones. So watch out. All right, 2 Thessalonians 1:6. It says, it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulations those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. And these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. In 2 Thessalonians 1, it says, he is coming in a flaming, inflaming fire in judgment of this world. In other words, he is as mad as hell, because it's a bad way of putting it, but I believe it's the truth. You see, we're all looking for a gentle Yeshua who's meek and he's mild. And the attitude of the average believer today in Yeshua is relax and be raptured. You know, but he is coming with flaming vengeance on this world. There is a time when his spirit of forbearance runs out, and there is going to be a day of vengeance of God. And when God gets angry, you have no idea what it's like. It's like 1,000 volcanoes exploding. He has appointed a day which he's going to judge the world, and the poor blind world doesn't know much about it. And I'm sorry to say, the poor blind church doesn't know much about it either. If we could turn to Exodus 33, verse 7. Exodus 33, verse 7. It says this, Moses took the tabernacle and he pitched it without the tent, and without the camp, afar from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was out the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. It was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. If you were in London, going past where Queen Elizabeth lives, and somebody says the Queen is at home, you wouldn't wonder. You wonder, how does this person know that the Queen is home? Well, because when she is home, there is a flag flying. When she is not there, it's not there. I believe the sign of God's presence is in the sanctuary of the pillar of fire. It's the living vibration of the eternal God who stands in the midst and does something you cannot explain. Oh, I'm believing for the fire of God, the pillar of fire to be in our sanctuary. I'm believing that the pillar of fire will be in our homes, that God's holy presence would be there. God is beyond definition. I cannot explain him, but I can experience him. I know when he touches me when I'm alone at night at 2 or 3 in the morning. I know when his loving presence or his living presence comes into my office here at West Ottawa in a special wave of anointing, you know. But notice this. He did not come until they went outside the camp. There are very, very few occasions when God Almighty has revived dead denominations. The men who stirred their generations had to go outside the camp. I want to tell you today, we've got to go outside of the doors of the congregation here. And praise God, God has given us opportunity, because we're not in a building anymore. We're outside. And God wants to use us outside to reach our neighbors, to reach our friends, to reach our enemies, to reach the world with the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach. God is doing a new thing, something that we've never seen before. And God wants us all to be evangelists. God wants us all to be on fire with his holy fire. He wants to move in our lives in such a way. God is calling you to do great and wonderful things for the glory of God. Not that you would be lifted up, but only that Yeshua the Messiah would be lifted up. And I want to encourage you to accept the challenge to say, Lord, I am going to be on fire for you. Let your fire fall upon me. Oh, Lord, do that work in my life. Now, doesn't it say in Hebrews 13:12 that he went outside of the camp? Therefore, Yeshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. In Exodus 33:9, it says, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And all the people saw the pillar, the cloudy pillar. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful? Imagine you could, if you could answer your child as one of those Israeli mothers would. Her little boy wakes up at night and says, "Mommy, sometimes I miss those days when we were in Egypt. You know, and I think about this terrible journey that we've made, and I wonder what's going to happen to us." Many of us are wondering, what's going to happen to us? We're going through such a trial and a tribulation, and we're wondering. And this little mother says, she puts her arms around him and says, "Darling, you see that over there? That's the pillar of fire over there. That's the holy place. Our holy God brands it with his presence of fire." I said, our holy God brands it with his presence of fire. Now, doesn't it say in Hebrews that God makes his angels ministering spirits and his ministering flames of fire? We have snowmen in the pulpits with icicles hanging around them. If the fire ever comes, they're going to be melting. We're going to see a lot of melting. You know, we're seeing people that are preaching a gospel that's not alive. We're seeing people that are preaching a gospel, their gospel, you know, not the gospel. And we need to get back to the very beginning. We get caught up in so many things. Oh, so many things. We get caught up in manifestations. We get caught up in this. Oh, I need a word. Give me a word. We turn on to anybody and they're giving you a word. Free word here. Call here. Call up and I'll give you a word. I'll give you a word. I want you to know the word of God. We have the word of God. The word of God is there and God will speak to us if we open it up. Don't go here to have someone prophesy over you to get a word. Go into the word and go to God to give you his word. His word is true. His word will transform us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I say again, this man, Yochanan the Baptist, he had no pattern before him. And I believe this man walked up and down among the wild beasts. And there he is. He doesn't eat much. Three times a day, he's eating locust burgers. Nothing else to eat except locust and wild honey. And yet, the people come near to hear him. I want you to know, you never have to advertise a fire. As I said before, fire attracts people. Whether it's spiritual or physical fire, the most self-advertising thing in this world is fire. I wonder how many of us have really seen a man of God on fire today. You almost saw me be on fire in the natural, but I'm talking about the spirit. You know, a man of God, full of the Ruach HaKodesh, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, how did it come? Did it come as a dove? When Yeshua received his baptism of the Spirit, it came as a dove upon him. There was nothing in Yeshua to purify. He comes to us in fire because we need purification. I said he comes to us in fire because we need purification. I'm believing that as we enter into prayer in our meetings, as we enter in, there'll be a surging of blessing. I'm believing as we enter in, there'll be a times when God's power comes in. And I am believing as we enter in, tongues of fire will come down on our heads, one person, then the next person, then the next person, then the next person, right to the end. You want to know what preaching is? Study the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And when you've read that chapter, turn to Acts 26. Of the apostles, where Paul is standing before a heathen king, a pagan king, and he's saying, God has called me to preach. God has called you to preach. God has called you to preach. You know, we used to sing a song, "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord our God is with you." I declare you today, be bold, be strong, because the Lord your God is with you. He's given you a mouth. He's given you a gift. God wants to use you. You'll be so surprised when you see God opens up a door for you, give you a word to give to somebody. Or can I pray for you? You know, I've been looking at you for a couple of minutes, and God's been speaking to me to pray for you. And God wants us to do that. You know, I've devised a new way of an anointing oil by using hand sanitizer and mixing it with olive oil. Man, we're going to lay hands and be clean both ways, you know. We're going to have the Holy Spirit come upon them. But be bold, be strong, don't be afraid. Don't be Casper Milquetoast. Be bold. God wants to do a new thing in your life for those that are bold. I mean, that are not bold. Perhaps he wants me to be less bold. He wants me to be quiet. You know, Marvel, let them just see Yeshua in you. Don't say a thing. You know, but God wants to move in your life. He wants to touch you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Now, right here, Paul, he summarizes what preaching is. It's to open the eyes of the blind, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified. He summarizes his preaching as, it's to open up the eyes of the blind. And I pray right now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for those of us that have eye problems that can't see correctly or properly, in the name of Yeshua, you would open up our blind eyes that we would see. And Lord, many people, perhaps our eyes are blinded spiritually. And I pray today in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, open up our eyes that we would see what your Ruach HaKodesh, what your Spirit is doing, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified. You know, we have people come to the altar. Yes, we meet them at the door and they say, What happened? Well, I confessed my sins. You know, if I can be bold and say this, and please forgive me, there is not one evangelist in 15 Canada today that is preaching salvation. They are preaching forgiveness. Just come up here and get forgiven. And I declare to you today, that is not salvation. Yeshua came to do more than forgive me of my sins. He came for something more. He came to rescue us from hell. He came to rescue us from sinning and from sin, not just our past sin, but to stop this damnable business that makes God so sad. He that is born of God, he that is born of God does not commit sin. You say, Marvin, that's impossible. It is possible not to sin. What happened when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost? What does it say? It says they were pricked in their hearts. And after Stephen preached, and when he preached, the same thing happened. Peter on the day of Pentecost, on Shavuot, says to the men he had ran away from, you crucified the Lord of glory. You killed him. You murdered the Son of God. Hey, I want you to know that's preaching. That's preaching. Oh, people say, I would love to go to a Holy Ghost church or a Holy Spirit church. My declaration to you today, would you? Would you love to have somebody come up to you and say, hey, fellow, last night you committed adultery. You embezzled some money this week. You got a spirit of hatred, which God says is as bad as murder. Again, Yeshua came not to save us just from our sins, but from sinning. Yeshua came not to save us just from our sins, but from sinning. When they heard these words, they were pricked in the heart. I long for the day when the Lord opens up an opportunity for me to minister, where they get pricked in the heart. They get convicted. There's an unction. There's a conviction on them. And when they heard these words, they were pricked in their hearts. And I go back to the third chapter of Luke 3:7, it says, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. And quit saying, we have Abraham to our father. Now, isn't that nice? He called them vipers, and now he says, God can do as much through stones as through Abraham. Don't boast of Abraham. If God wants, he will turn these stones into children to worship him. That's pretty exhausting in their theology, isn't it? In verse 9, it says, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth forth not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And people asked him, How many have come up to you and say, what must I do to be saved? Today they say, repeat a prayer after me. Bow your head, shut your eyes, nobody peek. We don't want to embarrass you. You know, I believe we need to say you need to repent, not repeat. We have a gospel today of repentance and not repentance. God has called us to repent. These people, they were conscious of their guilt. They felt as though maybe some viper or serpent was stinging them on the back. They didn't dare look back because of their sins. They didn't look forward because of judgment. They didn't even dare to look around about them. Some might think, oh, something's going to pounce upon me. But they cried out. Oh, I pray that people will cry out and repent of their sins. They will be forgiven. Even when they would see us, they would say, there's something different. There's a holy woman, a man of God, a woman of God in front of me. I must repent. When was the last time you were someplace and they cursed and they said to you, oh, please forgive me? Something many years ago that would happen to me all the time. What happened to me now? Am I dead and dry? Have I lost that loving feeling? You know? I don't want to become part of this world. I'm part of another world. I want to desire the things of God. They cried out. And it's not singing some sentimental chorus, then giving the invitation, would you like to come? You know, so I've heard people say that Yeshua, he's waiting. He's wringing his hands for you to come. Oh, he'd be so upset if you don't come right now. I want you to know Yeshua doesn't care of a hill of beans whether you come or not. He's done everything he can do for you. You have to do the rest. He's not going to whip you into submission. He's not going to force you to put a gun in your back. He's not going to demand, even though you sing love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. It's on our side to do it. And notice who they were. They were. In verse 10, the people ask him, what shall we do? In verse 12, they came also, if you're in America, the Republicans, but we'll say publicans, to be baptized, to be immersed, to be mikvahed, and said unto them, Master, what shall we do? In verse 14, the soldiers, they were Romans. They lived in a pagan society. They've never seen a man of God on fire. They've never seen a priest who didn't care a bit about his trimmings. Remember how this man was born. His father was Zacharias, who went into the temple. As he got into the altar, there was an angel on the other side. And it says to him, fear not, your wife is going to bear a son. And God does a miracle to raise up that child up. And Zacharias did this only once in his life. Now, there was a line behind him of at least 2,000 priests. They were all waiting at one at a time for this occasion to happen to them. And while they're going to when they go into a long white garment and they enter into the holy place. And when he gets there, there's a marvelous person, an angel named Gabriel. And he says, fear not. I have a message from God for you. I want to declare today, fear not. God has a message for you today. What are you saying, Marvin? I'm saying, fear not. God has a message for you today. If you haven't had one in your walk in God, one day you'll go to a meeting. And you'll think that God Almighty is speaking, is talking to you, just to you and nobody else. Why is he singling you out? Because you have ears to hear, which you didn't have before. Because you have a hunger for God, which you never had before. Because God has a word for you. God has a plan for your life. God has a person, a purpose for your life. So when John moved the people, they said, what shall we do? The publicans, they cried out. Yet with conviction, the Spirit, they cry out, what shall we do? And God, and John gives the answer in verse 16. He said, I indeed baptize you. I mikvah you with water. But one cometh after me, and I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. And he shall baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and with fire, or with Holy Ghost fire. Now, we talk about the baptism of the Spirit. I really believe it's the baptism of Yeshua. There's nothing you can get outside of eternity that didn't come from Yeshua, the Messiah. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost comes upon us as the coronation gift of Yeshua, his fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And many other things did he, and I wonder what they were. I wish he had left us a list. Here is a man, John. He had no financial backing. He had no program. He has the favor of nobody. He has the favor, he has the Roman army against him. He has religious leaders, an army of my Jewish people against him. He has the Pharisees who couldn't see a thing against him. He had the Sadducees. He had no money. He didn't need it. And he doesn't even have a miracle ministry. It clearly says that John, Yohanan, did no miracles. Nobody ran up to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, my son is a lunatic." Nobody cried, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," or "Open up my eyes," or "I'm deaf," or somebody, or something like that. Nobody said that. He never opened up a deaf ear. He never opened up the eyes of the blind. He never cured a withered leg or a withered arm. He didn't raise the dead, but he raised a nation singly. He raised a nation. This one man raised a nation from the dead. God wants to use you. You are just one. He wants you to raise the dead in our area, in West Ottawa, in Ottawa, all over the world. He wants to use you to raise the spiritual dead, to those that have gone to sleep spiritually. God wants to use you, little old me, a little old grandmother, a little old grandfather. God wants to use you, your children. God wants to use you. Oh, for such a time as this, we are in perilous times, a time of perplexity. Oh, what should we do? What's going to happen? The happening is there's going to be a revival that cannot be quenched. It's going to be by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. God has had this man in the school of silence. He's been talking to God and walking with God and weeping before God. He lived with Jeremiah. He lived with the prophets. He knew what Isaiah said, that one day a man should come into the wilderness crying. Isaiah 40 verse 3, it says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert of a highway for our God. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." I declare that to you today. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Excuse me if I get a little loud. I just get excited about the things of God. God has been so good to me. Oh, he's blessed me so much. I can't hide it. I'm excited. And I get a little loud. As a Jewish person, we get a little loud. And I'm not even from New York, you know. But please forgive me. There's an excitement in my spirit. Isaiah 35:8 says that the highway should be called the way of holiness, and that a wayfaring man, though fool, need not err therein. He shall baptize you. He shall mikvah you with the Ruach HaKodesh and with fire. He shall baptize you with fire, with the Holy Ghost. Believe that for you. Believe that he's going to baptize me in fire. Now, there's only a few people who want to go outside of the camp. There are only a few people that want to die with him. The only freedom that lepers had was to walk outside the camp. It was a place where all the sewage of the city went. It was a place where they threw dead bodies and dead animals. It was a stink hole. And all the holiest men and the holiest man that ever lived outside of the camp was there. And the holiest man that ever lived went outside the camp that you may go inside of it. And yet you have to beg people, "Oh, please come to the service. Please come to a meeting." That's a tragedy. I hear people say, "Oh boy, man, that meeting was cold. That meeting was dead." How can you have a living Messiah in a dead meeting? Or put it in another way, how can you have a dead meeting if the living Messiah is there? He's with you right now. He's there in your room, wherever you are. Yeshua, the Messiah, is there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's right there in your room. Hallelujah. He's right here. Right here in our presence here. He's here at West Ottawa Community Church. I sense his ruach. I sense his spirit. I sense his fire. Oh, Lord, send your fire right now. Immerse everyone, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Our business is to know about eternity. It's to talk about a time when there is no bonds and no other materialistic things. It's all vanished. Listen, we get caught up in so much materialistic things today in our time of seclusion and isolation. We're watching all the old movies on Netflix or whatever you might be doing. But are we really spending God, time with God? Marvin, are you really spending the time that you should with God? And I have to confess, not enough time with him. I get distracted like many of you. But we have a time here. We're in a wilderness time. We're in a wilderness time. In this wilderness time, let God speak to you. Oh, let him open up your ears that you would hear what the Ruach of God is saying. He wants to speak to us. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he just about got kicked out of the Methodist Church. That day he walked outside. He put his arm around his wife's shoulder and he said, "Darling, we're going to raise up an army." And she said, "From where are we going to raise up an army?" He said, "We'll take the cast off, the down and out, the ones that nobody wants. We'll take the dropouts from the churches. We'll go to the gutter." And he wrote a wonderful hymn, which is this: "Thou Messiah of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Thy blood brought gift today we claim. Send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host and give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost to make our hearts weak and strong and brave. Send the fire. To live a dying world to save, to send the fire. Oh, see us on thy altar lay our lives, our all this day. To crown the offering now we pray, send the fire." Is that your prayer? Is that your cry? Look what it says again. "To make our weak hearts strong and brave, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire, Lord, I declare today." Hallelujah. My first closing. The only way you can get dross or out of gold is to put it in a crucible. Today they put it in an induction crucible. You press the button, the heat comes up. The gold sinks to the bottom of the crucible. And a man sits there with a sieve, and he takes the scum off the top and he throws it in and he throws it out. He's there about a half an hour or so and then he quits. Someone says to him, "Are you tired?" He says, "No." "Why did you quit?" He said, "Because it's pure." "Well, how did you know?" "Because I can see my reflection in it." Doesn't Malachi say it in chapter 3, verse 3? "When he comes, he is a purifier of silver." Now, many of us are going through the fire, going through some times, difficult times, perhaps loneliness. Whatever it might be, you're going through a fire. Allow God to take all that hay, wood, and stubble, all the dross of your life out. Let him purify you. Oh, let him convict you. Let him woo you, that you would be a shining example of what it is to be a believer. Follow him. He is a purifier of silver. Who shall abide in the day of his coming? Dear God, we talk about a revival of 1 year. You know, if we have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, if we want a Holy Spirit revival, maybe you won't even be able to sleep for 10 days. God will do such a refining, such a purifying, maybe not on your husband, maybe not on your wife, but he will do it to you. Over 50 years ago, the most popular chorus was, "Let the beauty of Yeshua be seen in me, all his wondrous passion and purity. Oh, thy divine, Spirit divine, all my nature refined. till beauty of Yeshua is seen in me. My desire today that the world would see the beauty of Yeshua in you. You know, the refiner fire sits there. The refiner sits there. He has made me in the furnace, and he heats it up, and he heats it up, and he heats it up. And it feels like hell sometimes. He throws out what he doesn't like, my pride, my ambition, my secret lust, my temper, my unforgiving spirit, my stubbornness. And we don't think much of that. But stubbornness is a sin, as witchcraft, according to the word of God. He purifies until he looks in me and he sees his reflection. He won't be satisfied with less. He doesn't come to make me a great preacher or a great writer or a great singer or a great organizer. He comes because he wants to reflect the beauty in my life, gentleness and meekness and holy. I said he comes because he wants to reflect his beauty in my life, gentleness, meekness, and holiness. The self goes out. Self-interest goes out. Self-glory goes out. Self-seeking goes out. Self-righteousness goes out. Now, do you think it's easy? No, it's not. We have lived so long that we like ourselves, and God long ago stopped liking us. And the scripture talks about the word of God being a mirror. There was a song many years ago. It says, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, what are you seeing? Are you seeing pride? Are you seeing jealousy? Are you seeing backbiting? Are you seeing gossip? God wants to cleanse us. God wants to purify us. And even though we're separated, God, oh God, when we come back, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. You know, when revival comes, he holds the mirror up to us and we see ourselves, and he shall baptize us with fire. All right, my second closing, which probably is the last closing. William Booth, he put up the slogan, blood and fire. Today, parents, are you living so your children will want something in your life? Something that is beautiful. A lot of times we bring the kids to the congregation and we expect somebody else to teach them. You know, it's your job. Parents, are you living so your children will want something that is in your life? Something that is so beautiful. Something that they can't see in school or even in Sunday school or Sabbath school. That they can't see in a magazine. And they can't see in church. The greatest breakdown, I believe, in Canada is not in brothels or in abortion or addiction. The greatest breakdown in Canada is in the home. It's not what you have to bring to God. It's what God can give you. It's not what you have to bring to God. It's what God can give you. God isn't looking for organization or organizing. He is looking for agonizing. When was the last time you got together on the floor and you agonized? Oh, you prayed and deep groanings came out. You agonized. Oh, I pray that we as a people, I pray that I would be the example of that I would agonize before God. God, hear my cry. God, move in Ottawa. Touch this one and that one. Lord, let your healing flow. Hallelujah. You know, he talks about praying in the Ruach HaKodesh and the Holy Ghost. And I want to learn more, and I want to learn more of that. It's beyond praying in tongues. We've had in the last 50 years or so, with all the spiritual churches, we haven't moved this nation. You know, many, many, many people got involved with the charismatic revival movement, you know, but we haven't moved the nation. Some of us haven't even moved our family. Some of us haven't even moved, you know. But we all, with all the spiritual churches, we haven't moved the nation of God. How is it that 120 turned the world right side up? They had no money. They didn't have TV. They couldn't throw what they had to millions of homes. I'm sure in my own heart, what God is looking for is the total possession of some men in their and women in their spirit, their soul, their mind, and their will. God, I just need the fire of the Holy Ghost, not for today, but for every day of my life. I want you to refill my life continually with the Spirit. And my closing is this. It's not enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit 10 years ago. I don't care where you were baptized. The question is, were you filled 10 years ago, but are you filled tonight? Are you filled today with God today? Are you filled with his love today? Are you filled with his power today? Do you have a passion for the lost today? I'm not satisfied with the favor of man. I'm not satisfied with my eloquence. Breathe on me, O God. Breathe on me the breath of God. Breathe on my brothers and sisters the breath of God. Now, maybe you want to meet God in some way today. Normally, if you were here, I was going to say, go bow down. The musicians are coming up. Go on your knees before God. Kneel somewhere and say, Lord, I want something today that I've never seen in my life. I want the destruction of my self-life, my self-interest, my temper, my pride, my fear of man, my fear of the future, my fear what the relatives might think of me, and destroy it. All hell is looking into this meeting at this moment. All the angels are looking at this moment. And Yeshua is waiting to see the fruit of travail of our spirit. Thank you, Yeshua. And I pray right now that the Lord Yeshua would touch you. Get before him. Confess your sins. Confess your lethargy. Confess prayerlessness. Confess that you're not reading the word of God as much as you should. Confess your sins before him. He's right there. You don't have to come up here to West Ottawa right now and have me pray for you. The Ruach HaKodesh is there in your room. Allow him. Don't turn him away. Don't say what Marvin just said is nonsense. But have God minister to you. And I believe he's going to do that. There's going to be a change in you as you allow the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to move through you today. In Yeshua's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.